If psychology and pop culture had a baby, they'd call it the Shrink Take Podcast. Our illustrious panel of shrinks analyze and psychoanalyze what's happening in entertainment and pop culture. We're coming to you live from Nashville and Charlotte. I'm Dave Verhagen, a psychologist, an author, and a bad magician. And our panel's all here. Frank Gaskell is a psychologist, more or less, and he's the author of the popular Max Gamer graphic novel, and he's our resident insane person. And Frank is usually worked up about something. Frank, what are you worked up about this week?
Well, I'm not worked up as much as I've learned a valuable lesson in life.
Which is?
A couple weeks ago, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I asked my Uber driver, why on earth would somebody live in Phoenix? Because it's 104 degrees. Apparently, that offends people when you ask, why on earth would you live in your hometown? And he basically reamed me out for 20 minutes on the way to the hotel. But I did learn a great deal about Phoenix and the joys of living in 104-degree weather.
It was so hot that when you walked outside, you felt like your lips were drying out. That's no kidding.
Dude, I got a bloody nose.
Yeah.
I thought I'd share that with everyone.
I drank so much water and then retained all the water that when I got back home for the first 24 hours, I guarantee you I peed my body weight.
So basically, I was thinking you retained it and then peed dust.
No, that was you.
Right.
So you learned a valuable lesson, which is don't mock someone's hometown.
Yes, I did not know that prior.
Yeah, sure, you learned that. Okay.
Yes, and our guest today is Emma Kate Wright. She is a pre-doctoral intern in psychology. And Emma Kate, it is good to have you. It's good to see you again.
Howdy doody, glad to be here.
And Emma Kate, I know you've done the show before, but tell us something fun about you these days, something that's either been going on or something you've been up to. Tell us something good.
Well, recently I have been playing a lot of Pokemon Go, and I just advanced to level 15.
I'm level 21. Okay. Talk to me when I care.
Well, we can't all have no life like you.
Yeah. Now, I've been off the podcast for most of the summer because I've been on a little sabbatical, and I'm currently in the witness protection program.
Well, medical leave for that infection.
That's right. And my favorite Pokemon Go story of the whole summer is I was doing a river cruise down the Rhine River, and we stopped at a little town called Koblenz, which had this big monument. And we look across into the park from where we're docked, and there are easily 300 people all standing there. And we're like, oh, it's going to be a concert. It's going to be something fun. So we go onto the shore, and we're walking around, and everybody's standing there holding their phone. And my wife says to this German group, are you all playing Pokemon Go? Kind of joking. And they showed her their phones, and they're like, yes. The whole place, 300 people in a park in Germany, were playing Pokemon Go.
That's crazy.
Were they talking, though? That's
no, they were not talking. Well, Emma Kate, we're glad to have you here. And you also heard Jonathan Hederle. He's a counselor, a critic, and our sarcasm all-star. And each week he follows interesting stories of psychology in pop culture, and we call it Being Human.
This first study comes out of the Harvard Business Review that focuses on how emotional intelligence at work differs between men and women. And so the study looked at how people rate themselves, and normally they'll rate themselves higher than their peers, but over time, self-ratings will decline when they get feedback from their peers. And they found that women are more quickly aligned to their self-awareness with peer feedback, whereas men continue to rationalize and inflate their self-image over time.
I don't have a super strong opinion about this article, other than I thought it was well-designed. It had a small subject sample, and I think it validates what many of us think about men and women, that there are actually gender differences. And my takeaway is that women do better getting along with one another, and men are always kind of puffing themselves up to say, hey, look how awesome I am. The benefit is women's periods sync up. The downside is men's don't. That was sort of what I thought I understood.
Yes, Frank. That's what I took away from the study as well.
Okay.
That was right in there. It was actually a footnote in the study. You had to really dig in really deep to get to that part.
I mean, I think intuitively it does make some sense in the sense that women tend to be more social, so we're more prone to paying attention to social cues. but I don't think this is a great study.
There you go. But that was much more eloquently spoken by a lowly pre-doctoral intern.
Why don't you think it's a great study?
I don't know. I think how beneficial is this sort of information without having more background to it? So obviously emotional intelligence is a positive thing in general to have. So why do we need to make it about women versus men? We tend to dichotomize the two a lot. And I think, why can't we just talk about emotional intelligence as a whole?
Oh, yes.
She said the word dichotomize.
Wait a minute.
Word of the day.
Wait a minute. Are we taking these things seriously now that Emma Caitis has joined us?
Like, I know, right?
Whoa. Wait a minute, folks. Slow down.
Emma Caitis, let me ask you for real. Do you think with the gender thing, do you think, because there's this whole movement in psychology to say all these gender differences really aren't that big a deal, that men and women are more alike than they're different. What do you have a thought about that from just being in psychology, being a woman?
There are very clear differences between men
what?
And women.
I no.
Shocking. God. But yeah, no. I mean, I think it's important to highlight the strengths of different genders, but I don't think we need to highlight potential weaknesses.
Oh, boy.
We got to focus on the strengths.
Nah.
I would love for us to promote the strengths of white men, because I feel like we have not given that enough time in our culture, in our history.
It's kind of a niche.
It really is. Mm. The marginalized.
Preach it.
All right, well, moving on, let's look at this second study that highlights why the happiness hormone serotonin may actually make you scared. And so a new study out of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill found that serotonin activates circuitry in a certain area of the brain that's directly tied to fear and anxiety.
I'd like to speak to this one first. I was really excited based on the title. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. But then I realized they're talking about anxiety, not fear. And anxiety is different than fear. Anxiety is more about worry. And I was just a little confused because did you summarize the study there?
No, why don't you do it for us?
Well, essentially, they were talking about how a bunch of mice were being zapped. And if you were zapping anything, I'm
scare
pretty
the
sure
crap out
I'd
of them.
Be scared, too. Yeah.
And so they're zapping their feet.
Right. So that would make me super anxious. Okay, well, then they were talking about how there was an increase in serotonin. And they were trying to say, oh, well, that means it's going to be an increase in anxiety. Well, I don't really see the relationship between those two. What do you guys think?
I just like the idea of electrocuting mice feet. I think I had this mental image of the guy holding the mice and having this little electrical probe and just like, gzz, gzz. And then, yeah, actually, I thought it was a little more interesting than that, because I have had some clients when they go on their SSRIs and they get up to higher doses, they get kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
So I think it would be interesting to see if there's some way to look at a crossover between that result and a genetic marker.
That was the one thing that I was curious about, is that doesn't happen to everybody, but I've come across clients that have had some negative responses with SSRIs at a certain level, and it starts to have an adverse effect on them. So that was really the only thing that, you know, yeah, other than it's cool that we torture mice so our lives can be better.
Yeah, the last time I upped my antidepressant, I stayed in a closet for a week. I was terrified.
And that was different than before you upped the antidepressant, right?
But now he's come out of the closet.
Right, yeah. Right.
Thank goodness. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be our trending topic. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Available now from Hero House Books. Mixed Shrinks, Ridiculous Real-Life Stories from Shrinks. Have you ever wanted to read funny stories from a bunch of shrinks? Well, neither have we, but somehow it made it into a book. And it's a great book, too. Shrinks share some of their funniest true-life stories, and we've got some doozies. It's Mixed Shrinks, available now at HeroHousePublishing.com or Amazon. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. Dave Verhagen, along with Frank the Psych Weasel, Emma Kate Wright, and Jonathan Hederle. And our trending topic today is celebrities and mental health. And over the past few years, we've certainly seen a trend of celebrities being much more open about their struggles with mental health issues, anything from depression, panic attacks, anxiety, bipolar illness. And it's continuing, and we're going to talk about whether it's a good thing for celebrities to be that vocal and upfront, if it's confusing, or if it's helpful, if it clears up things. Most recently, we've had Selena Gomez and Zayn Malik and Bruce Springsteen all talk about their struggles with various mental health struggles. And Emma Kate, Selena Gomez, as I understand it, has put a halt to her whole tour. What do you know is going on there?
Well, for those who don't know, Selena actually is diagnosed with lupus, which is an autoimmune disorder, and she went through chemotherapy. So this has been a very chronic issue for her. And one of the side effects that she's spoken about is that she has anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and it's very debilitating for her. So she said, I got to focus on me. I got to take a break. And I support that. And I like that. But then you hear stuff like Zayn Malik, who's like, oh, I'm anxious and I don't want to perform in front of a million people. Yeah. And it's like, well, I'm pretty sure
he's a boy
in front of. Right. No. Well, it's just like if I had to perform in front of a million people, I would be freaked out.
I'm pretty sure it's not a million people. Well,
okay,
pretty
fine.
Sure.
It's like 100.
Or 100 people.
Maybe he just takes emotional intelligence, you know, differently. He gets the feedback.
I don't know.
Or his SSRI uptake is really messing with his fear.
Maybe I just
anxiety.
Don't like him.
Well, that's.
I would tell you, I think this. I mean, I think it's a good thing because it makes them more real people. But also, I'm wondering if there might be some PR agents out there saying, okay. Let's say you've got depression. Let's say you've got panic disorder make you more real and closer to your fans. I don't know.
I don't buy that for a moment.
No, you don't think some of that will? I'm not saying it's happening now. You don't think it would happen?
No.
Why not?
I mean, maybe some like C-list celebrity, but not somebody that's like, no, that's, I don't buy that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It could be a cover-up. I could see that argument where it's like, oh, they were out partying, drinking, doing drugs, and then now we're seeing this sort of excuse.
Yeah, usually when people throw things out, it's damage control. Whereas Zayn right now, he's just on tour. It's not as though he just got a DWI or there's a domestic violence charge against him. And more often than not, that's when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get these kind of diagnoses or headlines that they suffer from depression or they're going to rehab. Whereas for Zayn, it's just, you know, they're postponing or delaying his tour because he's been struggling with anxiety. And this is also not a new development. I think it's just gone public because he actually is delaying his tour right now because of it.
So I'm interested that Emma Kate is very interested in Selena Gomez, but
like, ooh, I have lupus.
Right.
Yeah. No, I love new music. I love pop music, dance music. So I'm a Selena.
No, what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you're very sympathetic to Selena, and you're not sympathetic to Zayn.
No, because he had a solo career where he bailed on One Direction. I was like, go One Direction.
You had to tear that poster off the wall.
The truth is coming out now. No, but I mean, he's doing a solo act now. He's not used to having his bandmates around him. And I think it's bogus.
Wow.
I'm being harsh.
I think we hit a childhood trauma.
I think
here.
I'm right.
So, but why is that? Like, why do you give Selena Gomez all your like empathy and support? And then Zayn is like, no good.
She has a chronic disease and she underwent chemotherapy.
Yes.
Versus I'm afraid of people.
Well, let me read his statement. He says, dear fans, I've been working over the last 3 months to overcome my extreme anxiety around major live solo performances. I feel I'm making progress, but I have today acknowledged that I don't feel sufficiently confident to move forward with the planned show in Dubai in October. I'm sure that all tickets will be refunded. I'm truly sorry to disappoint you. Hope to see you all soon. Thank you all to my fans who support me globally with love and respect.
Why is he? He's anxious now because his buddies aren't around him and he's doing it by himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So why are you not sympathetic to that, Emma Kate?
Because he was the one who wanted a solo career and broke up the band.
Okay. I think we're learning a lot.
Yeah. So let's just recap. Selena Gomez, good for her.
Good.
Zayn Malik, bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, how about this? Was it okay for Gene Wilder to hide his Alzheimer's?
unclear. I don't know enough about that situation to speak to.
I mean, he basically said he wanted to hide this phase of his life so he'd be remembered the way he was.
I think that's about a legacy, though. That's mm-hmm. To me, that seems a little different versus saying there's some weird thing happening and, you know, I'm going to come up with an excuse.
An excuse. I want to attend her anxiety support groups no. that Emma wow. Kate runs. Just be like, well, wait a minute. Do you have a chronic illness? No. Well, what are you doing here? Boo you. Get over it. Join a band.
I know. Yeah. I think that's what we call an empathic failure, Emma Kate. All right. What about Springsteen? This is a more recent thing he talked about in his biography, which I haven't read yet. It's his memoir biography that, he has struggled with depression that has been so debilitating it would just put him down for about a year at a time. Jonathan, are you familiar with this story?
Yeah, it just came out in the headlines. And that is something that when you think about Bruce Springsteen, who really, really respects and tries to be relatable and down to earth, that blue collar audience and fan base that he has. So I think this is actually a very profound revelation, is that despite his success, and you could argue he's one of the most successful rock stars since rock and roll, you know, became mainstream music, the fact that he's able to reveal that for him it was years at a time. It's not just I have this kind of ongoing heaviness or when my career was floundering here or there in some of its dark periods. It's like a real deep depression, and his willingness to talk about it, I think, is really important.
Well, he is a blue collar hero. And so everyone from first responders to military to, you know, farmers, you name it, look up to this guy. They idolize him. And particularly in the kind of the Jersey area, but also really across the country, across the world, I think this is going to be one of the biggest celebrities in terms of the impact it has on mental health accessibility, because you're talking about his fan base are, you know, a lot of guys, you know, that they're yeah. men that don't talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. They're the no nonsense, no excuse, like pick yourself up with your bootstraps. And so for him to say, I struggle sometimes just getting out of bed. But I also think it's a testament to not only his honesty and disclosure, but you can also look at his life and say that he really has pushed back at his depression as well. Is like, I mean, he's had a very prolific career. And so clearly at times, despite the depression weighing him down, he found ways to continue to live life and engage life in a really meaningful way.
Yeah. I think probably now is maybe the best time and platform for me to disclose I have struggled for years with high T, which is high testosterone. It makes me too strong, too masculine, and sort of aggressive, but in a healthy way. And I just wanted to share that with people who may be in a similar boat of struggling with high T.
For your white collar fan base,
you know.
Thanks for your bravery, Frank.
Thanks. I'm just doing what I can. Keeping it real, and I thank Jesus Christ every day that I've been given this opportunity.
Yes, for sure. Well, let me ask you the big picture question here, which is, in general, and we kind of hit on this a little bit with Emma Kate dissing Zane and us talking a little bit about whether this is good or bad. Do you think it is, on balance, a good thing for celebrities to talk about their mental health struggles, or do you think it tends to minimize it or reduce it to something that feels inconsequential?
I really honestly think it's a very positive thing. You know, I was bashing Zane, you know, good for him for being honest about whatever he's
struggling
with. But in all honesty, it really is a great opportunity for people to say, you know what, I'm not alone. I thought I was, but I'm not. And it's very good to see celebrities take on that role, as long as they're going about educating people appropriately versus providing misinformation.
I think it is fantastic they do it. And I just think of all the people that have said, hey, I'm Asperger's. I'm autistic. And that has done wonders for all of my clients, that they can look online or look on TV or in a movie and say, oh, that's me.
I think it's great as long as celebrities stick into their wheelhouse, which is talk about their own personal experiences with mental health and not step outside in ways that, let's say, Tom Cruise or Jenny McCarthy has done, where they try to come across as experts in an area of mental health, psychiatry, or autism. And then even if in their own mind they're well-intentioned, that really creates a lot of consequences and problems when a celebrity tries to champion themselves as a mental health expert.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying on balance, though, when someone's talking about their own personal story, it's probably for the good.
I believe so.
Okay. So one more question about this, and then we'll wrap up. My question is really, why do you think this is happening more? Do you think it's because more celebrities are experiencing anxiety, stress, depression, and so on? Do you think it's just part of the bigger culture of disclosure where the boundaries between what's public and private are going away? Do you think it's that the stigma of mental illness is changing? What do you think is to account for it? Because we didn't have this. If you went back into the 80s and 90s or so, you didn't have this volume of people talking about this.
I think it's the last two. I mean, people are not keeping all this stuff private anymore. And mental health is becoming a more acceptable way of addressing things. And it's a younger population that is more comfortable with disclosure. I think it's all of that.
Yeah, I think celebrities in general, it's kind of an all-access show at this point. You know, there's a lot of criticism about the lack of privacy that they have. But, you know, again, if they can use this for something positive, I think it's fantastic.
I mean, I really think it's all three on some level. I mean, if we've seen rising rates of anxiety in the general public, and especially with younger kids, a lot of these celebrities now in their early 20s, they've come out of that culture environment of very pressurized. Even with access through social media, comes pressure and scrutiny and just constantly being kind of judged and evaluated with every single thing you wear, every single thing that you say. And so I think it's inevitable that for some people that's going to add a greater degree of pressure, stress, anxiety, or depression. But I also think the level of acceptance versus stigma has changed. And I do think that we've talked about this in previous podcasts, to where we have greater access to our celebrities now. And so it really is about relating to one another and their fan base than it is separating and putting themselves on a pedestal, like maybe that mysterious aspect of celebrity occurred in generations past.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, it will be our doctor's orders. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Available now from Hero House Books, Cinema Analysis by Craig Pullman and Josh Jensen. Cinema Analysis connects films to psychology through double features. These are movies paired because they share striking amounts of cinematic DNA, as if they were separated at birth. Each chapter describes a double feature, including why the movies can be appreciated more by viewing them together. Then psychological ideas are illustrated through the paired films. Pick up Cinema Analysis at HeroHousePublishing.com or Amazon.com. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. Dave Verhagen along with Frank the Psych Weasel, Jonathan Hederle, and Emma Kate Wright. And this is our doctor's orders. These are things that we're personally enjoying in pop culture. And Emma Kate, what do you have for us?
Well, I saw a preview for the new Mel Gibson movie. I can't think of the name now.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge, thank you.
It's unforgettable.
Anyway, it was reviewed at the Venice Film Festival, and it got a 10-minute standing ovation. And I saw the trailer. I know that's not the movie, but I'm really excited about it. It's coming out in November.
Let's just recap. Can't remember the name. Didn't see the movie. I highly recommend it.
It's going to be great. Okay. It's going to be great. Good.
Frank, what do you have for us?
I got nothing for you today.
Is that right?
Wow.
That's right. There are things I'm very excited about coming up, but they haven't happened yet.
All right. Well, I've got something good for you. There's a movie that has gained a little bit of traction and it's gaining some momentum called Hell or High Water. Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine, Ben Foster. Man, probably maybe my favorite movie of the year, certainly in the top two. Great performances, great story. One of the few movies that actually gets better as it goes. You know, it starts off okay, but then it just gets better and better. Just a really, really solid movie. I'd highly recommend it. Jonathan?
Yeah, it was great.
And Dave saw that, so you should
I
see
actually
that over
saw
mine.
The movie.
Yeah, I saw it too, and I'd recommend it. I'm going to recommend one of my guilty pleasures that we've talked about on previous podcasts. Recently, Comedy Central had another roast, and this time it was of Rob Lowe. And, you know, Rob Lowe was pretty inconsequential to me, but one of the roasters was Ann Coulter. And they had so much fun at her expense. It was ridiculous. And so I highly recommend, even if you're not sure that would be your thing, just look up on the internet the top 10 jokes at Ann Coulter's expense from the Comedy Central roast of Rob Lowe. It was great.
Good stuff. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Shrink Tank Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Shrink Tank Talk or like us on Facebook by searching for the Shrink Tank Podcast. And of course, you can check us all out on shrinktank.com, where you'll find articles and videos about all kinds of cool things in pop culture. Our engineer and audio wizard is Zach Brown. For Emma Kate Wright, Jonathan Hederle, and Frank Gaskell, I'm Dave Verhagen. Have a great week. Thank you.